Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is January 30th, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. Let him know you're going to call. You can always find the updates with the breaking news with the Mission Up Church, about the Mission Church update. The radio program archives and contact information is all on our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program with simulcast live on the net and internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I do. I thought you lost your wind there for a minute.
I did. I just ran out of breath. I had to breathe. On another note, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Zurich, Switzerland, Damascus, Syria, Skopje, that's almost like Sloppy Joe, but Skopje, Macedonia, and of course, cities of the good old USA like Seattle, Washington, Plano, Texas, Cincinnati, Ohio, and Wichita, Kansas, back to the largest group of listeners when it podcasts later tonight. Follow Dan on Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77 on Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay, back in Plano. I just changed that to Plano. Then my next guest will be coming to us from Plano, Texas area.
Area, yeah.
Yeah. He's actually in Dallas. Anyway, moving right along. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray for you tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears from which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen.
And amen.
Well, we got a lot to cover tonight, so we're going to get right into it and not a lot of small talk or fun stuff that we do. But so, folks, you heard about the deal of the century, and that's Donald Trump's the deal of the century. That's Israel going back and, you know, making a peace deal with the Palestinians. Well, why the Palestinians just said outright they're not going to do it because their biggest thing is in order to get the land, they have to disarm. But the big thing about it is just shortly after it happened, the people in Florida, they had a huge earthquake. Well, they felt a huge earthquake that happened off the coast between them and I think it was Jamaica. Point was, it was a 7.7 earthquake.
Ooh.
Well, I believe that is. It's a warning. While we didn't split the land and they didn't, and it's not going to happen because that land deal just ain't going to happen. The Arabs are never going to recognize Israel. But having said that, I believe the earthquake was a warning. Why do I believe it was a warning? Because you don't trade Yahweh's land away. You don't give it away.
Right.
And what happened last time when that happened
was Katrina, wasn't it?
With Katrina, yeah. And we're going to go into that right now. This report is part of a part of a report made by Culling, and that's World Watch Daily, and also the Times of Israel. And we're going to go through this. Now, folks, this is what happened when the folks were run out of Gaza Strip, and after they were run out of Gaza Strip, when that happened, Katrina hit. And this is it. What happened? So you get
to sit up. Okay, Miami.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
In Miami, people are all over Miami saying they felt buildings swaying.
No, that's that. But that was the magnitude. Do read that first.
Do what?
Go ahead, read that. That isn't about the thing. Go ahead.
People are all over Miami say that they felt buildings swaying after a massive earthquake measuring 7.7 magnitude was centered between the island nations of Cuba and Jamaica on Tuesday. Amazing. Tuesday, we had a 2.9 that's just 10 miles down the road from us and 6 miles this side of Mary.
No, we had it yesterday.
Tuesday. It was Tuesday at 11:45 p.m.
I thought you told me it was
no,
last
Tuesday
night.
No, Tuesday at 11:45.
Okay, moving right along. We don't have a lot of time
okay.
for small talk today. Now, anyway, but now we're going to look at what happened when Bush helped force the Gaza giveaway. Israel's, and so here's the headline, and it's from Coyne. Israel disengagement evacuation and eviction began on Wednesday, August 17th, and ended Tuesday, August 23rd.
According to CNN, Israel evacuated the last settlers and protesters from the West Bank settlement of Homs on Tuesday, August 23rd, completing in its historic withdrawal of civilians from 25 settlements in Gaza and the West Bank. Gaza's final evacuations occurred on Monday, August 22nd. Today, we accomplished the first phase of the disengagement process related to evacuation of the civilians, said Israel's Defense Force Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Dan Holt. Israel's forces planned to remove the settlers' belongings, destroy their homes, and then withdraw from Gaza. Authorities used force at times on Tuesday, August 23rd, to clear the two remaining West Bank settlements, Homs and Sana'a.
Okay, Gaza, that's what they gave to the Palestinians. So on Tuesday afternoon, August 23rd, 2005, the Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 a.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed Tropical Depression was upgraded to Tropical Storm Katrina. And by 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 25th, Katrina became a hurricane. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southwest Florida. By Monday, August 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It's now being called the largest natural disaster in United States history. Israel's Gaza and northern Samaria settlements were under military occupation during the time of the evacuation. New Orleans was under military occupation as they attempted to restore order. As in the war zone, military bases were established in a city divided into sectors, while the Navy moved warships up the Mississippi for helicopter operations. Now, you see what's going on? They're moving them out of Israel, and they're moving them out of the United States, both by military. Almost a mere thing. Go ahead.
On Wednesday, August 17, 2005, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon authorized the mandatory evacuation of residents refusing to evacuate Gaza.
On Wednesday, September 7, 2005, an hour after New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered the mandatory evacuation of the crippled Crescent City by force, if necessary, soldiers began coaxing some of the Hurricane Katrina holdouts from their homes due to fire and disease risk. We have thousands of people who want to voluntarily evacuate at this time, Police Chief Eddie Compass said, adding that once they were all out, we'll concentrate our forces on the on mandatory evacuation. Now, before we go on further, I'm going to throw in here, too, that the mayor of that city was later arrested for corruption due to all this stuff because he made money off of it. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Israeli settlers stated that the Gaza and Sumerian evictions will go down as the worst abandonment of Jews in history and the largest forced evacuation in Israel's history.
Katrina produced the largest mass migration and evacuation in U.S. history as hundreds of thousands of people were forced from their homes. The media and the Democrats say the White House abandoned black residents of the New Orleans by not getting them help fast enough. Arian Broussard, the president of Louisiana Jefferson Parish, said on NBC's Meet the Press that the response to Hurricane Katrina will go down in, as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever in U.S. history.
9,000 Israelis were evicted by their government shortly afterward. Shortly thereafter, 1 million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina. Israeli security teams went from home to home to evict Israelis, while teams of soldiers went home to home in New Orleans evicting people.
Now, you catch the picture of this, folks. This is happening at the same time. Not a couple of days difference. It's happening same time.
I remember that.
Right. Amen. Israel has an evacuee problem with people spread throughout Israel in hotels, lodged in makeshift homes, and living in tents. In Texas and other U.S. states, are absorbed record numbers of Katrina evacuees. Right. President Bush's home state of Texas has more than 250,000 evacuees. Houston's Astrodome was filled with 33,000 people. There were 150,000 refugees in Houston's 55,000 hotel rooms, 20 Red Cross facilities, and 20 faith-based shelters.
While 2,700 homes were demolished in Gaza and 300 homes in northern Samaria, tens of thousands of homes were demolished in the southern U.S., with many more severely damaged. Businesses were forcefully abandoned in Gaza, Israel. Many businesses will have to be abandoned in Louisiana and other Gulf Coast cities. Buses took Israelis out of Gaza and northern Samaria to their temporary homes, while buses took New Orleans residents to their temporary homes in Texas and other southern states. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon saw the largest eviction of Jews in Israeli history.
Okay, so again, this is going on at the same time. And listen to that, military use.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem was the United States got worse than what these evacuees did, but you shouldn't mess with the father's property. But the point of the matter is this is too... I don't believe in coincidences, let alone like this. Anyway, President Bush oversaw the largest natural disaster and displacement of people in U.S. history. So Sharon saw the largest eviction of Jews in Israel's history, and at the same time, President Bush oversaw the largest natural disaster and displacement of people in United States history. Yet despite the enormous influx from across the United States, of the National Guard Reserve units and Federal Army, Marines, Coast Guard, airmen, firefighters from Los Angeles, and even Texas game wardens in boats. Logistics of evacuating the remaining residents from flooded suburbs and collecting possibly thousands of bodies presented enormous challenges. They also exposed the flaws in management structure and communications.
Gush Katav was a very important architectural area. was a very important agricultural area for Israel. New Orleans port exported much of the Midwest agricultural production.
Okay, so...
So they both were destroyed.
Both were destroyed, but you get the picture. Both of them had to do with agricultural.
Right.
You know, coincidences? Anyway...
No.
White House Press Secretary Scott McKellen says, he provided Katrina information on it. This is what he said late Tuesday night, September 6th. This is his report. We have 559 shelters in place. More than 880,000 people are housed in those shelters. People in shelters receiving 11.3 million MREs, that's military ready meals, and you've had 18 million liters of water provided. There are more than 75,000 response, rescue, recovery, and law enforcement personnel that continue to work around the clock to get critical assistance to the people in need. He said, we now have more than 60,000 active duty and National Guard personnel on the ground or aboard ships that are supporting the relief operations. Some 20 U.S. United States Navy ships are in the operational area. You have 360 helicopters, 93 airplanes that are involved in this. The Department of Defense has provided extensive search and rescue, evacuation, and medical support. The Corps of Engineers has closed that 17 Canal Street levee breach have been pumping water from the area, so we're trying to recover. President Bush requested $51.8 billion in additional funding for the immediate needs of the people affected by Katrina. That was $51 billion, but there was much more later. Last week, Congress moved quickly to approve the president's initial request of $10.5 billion. So you're talking about, if you add that together, that's, $62 billion just immediately, and there was more done after that. And that was just for the immediate needs. At that point, he says that at this point, I can tell you that $50 billion of the supplemental request will go to FEMA, $1.4 billion will go to the Department of Defense, and $400 million will go to the Army Corps of Engineers, naturally, to distribute to the people. This will not be the last request for response to the disaster there. We anticipate that there will be a need for additional supplemental spending, especially in the process of recovery in the Gulf area. Now, going backwards, this is the guy talking about it as it's happening. Thousands of National Guardsmen with food, water, and weapons streamed to bring relief to New Orleans, suffering to their suffering. Anyway, multitudes put down the looting. There was looting and violence, and the cavalry will continue to arrive, says one general. Now, aftermath. Ariel Sharon, he gave his condolences. Ariel Sharon, he says, I would like to send our condolences to the American people and to the people of the southern United States who were struck by such a severe disaster. It seems to be that the United States has been caught in one of the worst disasters ever. Last week, I sent a letter to United States President Bush in which I expressed my condolences for those of the Israeli people. And Bush, in turn, so okay. Then Bush had told him almost the same thing. He says, Bush expressed his condolences for those of the Israeli people over their disaster. So both of them suffered. So what about the aftermath? In August 2005, this happened. And just have a look. See this? Read that.
By December, Ariel had a stroke and would spend 8 years in a coma before death in January of 2014.
That happened in August. The consequent Bush was before, he was shamed before he ever got out of office. He was hated by the time he got out of office. Ariel Sharon, a month and a half or so later, he had a stroke and he went into a coma and he never came out of the coma. He died in 2014. Now, these are punishments, you know, by the Father, I truly believe. Now, I'm not God. I can't say, thus saith the Lord, but
it looks that way.
Yeah, it looks like that. And so what is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the plan looks good. Well, in one sense, it would, but, you can't give land for peace. You just can't give land for peace. Okay. Netanyahu.
Okay. He promised to abide by the Trump plan, including the stipulation that Israel not build in areas designated for a future Palestinian state under the scheme. For at least the next 4 years, Israel will maintain the status quo in areas that your plan does not designate as being part of Israel in the future.
Netanyahu
told the U.S. president, Israel will preserve the possibility for peace. At the same time, Israel will apply its laws to the Jordan Valley, to all the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, and to other areas that your plan designates as part of Israel and which the United States has agreed to recognize as a part of Israel. You have been the greatest friend that Israel has ever had in the White House, he interested.
Yeah, he went on to praise the plan at length, offering 6 points in his favor in a speech that seemed geared to the Israeli audience back home.
Your peace plan addresses the root cause of the conflict by insisting that the Palestinians will finally have to recognize Israel as a Jewish state, he said.
Good thing. He said, second, it stipulates that Israel will retain security control over the entire area of the Jordan River, thereby giving Israel a permanent eastern border to defend ourselves against our longest border.
Third, your plan calls for Hamas to be disarmed and Gaza to be demilitarized.
demilitarized. In other words, all the weapons gone. They're never going to do that, so the plan's in the trash can. Fourth, it will make clear the Palestinian refugee problem must be solved outside the state of Israel. That's positive.
Fifth, it calls for an ancient capital of Jerusalem to remain united under Israel's sovereignty.
Right. They do give a little, on the outskirts, they said that the Palestinians can have a capital on the outskirts, on the very outskirts edge of Jerusalem, but the control will remain to Israel. So technically, Jerusalem wouldn't be split, as the Bible predicts. Sixth, your plan does not uproot anyone from their homes, Israeli and Palestinians alike. The people that they're giving to the Palestinians, the land that they would give if they would take it and God approved, is land that nobody's living in right at the current time. Palestinians, though, rejected the plan before it was even rolled out as a one-sided in favor of Israel. The Palestinians will not disarm, nor will Hamas, so the deal is not going forward. According to Hebrew media reports, quoting Prime Minister's office, Netanyahu plans on beginning the process of annexing all the settlements in Jordan Valley as early as Sunday's cabinet meeting.
The Prime Minister later confirmed that in a briefing with Israeli reporters.
Netanyahu and Trump's plan was punctuating the big lie that was puncturing, in other words, doing away with the big lie that Israel was illegally occupying the historic homeland of the Jewish people. You're recognizing Israel's right to sovereignty over Jewish communities, large and small. He added that the past peace plan failed because they tried to pressure Israel to withdraw from vital territory in the Jordan Valley.
But Trump recognized that Israel must have sovereignty in the Jordan Valley and other strategic areas of Judea and Samaria.
Because of the historic recognition and because your peace plan strikes right to balance that others have failed, I agreed to negotiate with the Palestinians over this, Netanyahu said. And so, you know, it's not good that we should give land for peace. Was that earthquake that Florida felt a warning? I think so, but we will see. But, folks, at some time, well, we have a really big prophetic program coming up in the next hour, and that's going to be with Stan Johnson, and he's going to tell you the other side of this coin. Tell them where they can find us. We'll go to break and come back.
You can find all the information about the mission update, and the church mission work.
20 seconds.
Prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. Yet time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He doesn't cause, He cares for us, and that's why He cuts the thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we work within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful.
How many times have we heard it preached from Psalms 111 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Many times from the pulpits of those who teach that the Old Testament scriptures relating to God's commandments do not really apply to believers. A complete examination of the psalm proves otherwise. It informs us that all His commandments are sure, that they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness, and that God hath commanded His covenant forever. It was Jesus who wrote the Ten Commandments in stone, and who said that until heaven and earth pass away, not even the slightest thing would pass from the law. In fact, if any of those commandments could have been changed, He would not have had to die. Because they could not, He laid down His life to pay the death penalty required for our past transgressions, and sends us the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, so that we might have minds subject to the laws of God. In addition, Scripture reveals that the vast majority of times the term fear the Lord is used, it is directly associated with keeping His commandments and thereby doing His will. Yes, the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. But why is it that most who quote the Scriptures stop in the middle of the verse? A full reading may provide the answer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, following up from where we had left off before the program, we just went through an explanation, folks, of what happened when Katrina hit the United States, and at the same time, the Jews in Israel were being pushed out of their land. Both were great disasters, and some of the articles that we read from, if you would like to look at them, they're at when you go to prophecyhour.com, if you go to the pastor's page, those articles are there if you just scroll down and look, and it's really devastating. That one particular article was from Coeing, and it's basically Coeing International, I think is what it is, but the link is there for it. Really devastating. You give away the Father's property, and you know, people don't understand. If you read the Word, it tells us that. It says, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. That was part of Abraham, the promise given to Abraham that is ongoing and works even today. So it was pretty devastating, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the coronavirus, right? We did a program on that last week, right?
Yeah, we did. This is more like a follow-up, but it's something that needs to be talked about because it's got worse.
Yeah, it's global now.
Yeah, okay. WHO, which is the World Health Organization, said, WHO, the World Health Organization said the fast-spreading coronavirus, and to me it doesn't even look like corona, but it is corona, okay, but fast-spreading coronavirus that's infected more than 8,200 people across the world is a global health emergency. Last Wednesday, there were only 555 cases, and with now, cases, but now there's also 170 dead.
That they've reported.
Yeah, that they've
reported. That's not counting all that they haven't found that are, you know, in their apartments dead from it that nobody's discovered yet. It's really bad in China.
We're going to get, and that's very good observation without even looking at the article, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But yeah, you're absolutely right. People also die in the street. And then you'll find this sickening when you hear what China is doing. The rare designation will help the international agency mobilize financial and political support to contain the outbreak. Since emerging less than a month ago in Wuhan, China, the coronavirus has infected more people than the 2003 SARS epidemic, which sickened roughly 8,100 people across the globe over 9 months. As of Thursday, there are at least 8 cases in 4 countries outside of China of human-to-human transmission of the new coronavirus. The WHO defines a global health emergency known as a public health emergency of international concern. This is an extraordinary event, and it's serious, unusual, or unexpected. The Epoch Times, a United States-based newspaper that often focuses on human rights abuses committed by the Communist Party of China, cited interviews on Monday with an unnamed insider with an independent journalist within Wuhan, both of whom said the Chinese doctors were now testing people who requested it, showing symptoms of an infection. The party is significantly limiting access to testing kits, which makes it more difficult to confirm cases of the novel coronavirus, thus suppressing the official number known of the disease. So now that goes with what you were saying, Steve. If they can't get the right kit, otherwise, they just, well, you've got a sickness, you understand. Then you have to use a specific test kit to know that it's the coronavirus.
Isn't that SARS? Isn't that the one that antibiotics weren't working on, too?
Yeah.
How'd they contain it?
It died off. And they finally did. I'm not sure what the finale of it, but I think it just burned out or whatever, but it just didn't go like they would. But this is worse than SARS.
Medical personnel at these hospitals in Wuhan have said that the number of kits that they supplied is less than 10% of what they need to test patients, the Epoch Times not noted. Now, these hospitals claim that their responsibility at present is to provide treatment only, and they will not perform any diagnosis. Patients who are seeking a diagnosis are unable to get one and find themselves in a desperate situation.
Right. Okay. So, you know, here you go. It's bad. Not only is it bad, but they're hiding it. They're hiding it. And we got an article up from Blue Games. Maybe we'll get Frank to come on and tell us what that's about when we get done with this little piece here in a minute. So if he does, he'll say yes. If not, we'll move on. Anyway, I have seen videos of folks in the streets unable to care for themselves, and they're dying, literally dying in the street.
I have a feeling they're behind it.
Right. Well, let's break in here right now. Frank has something that was breaking I hadn't seen before. Frank, what are you talking about?
Go ahead, Frank. Let's hear it.
Well, it's just that this virus is not just a virus. It doesn't just happen. It is a created virus that is owned. It is patented by a company called Purebright, which Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are the chief funders of this. You know, so basically they own the copy of the patent to the coronavirus. Michael, why I think this is so important is because, so I got a dog. I love my dog. My dog don't bite me, but my dog gets loose. and it goes over to the neighbor's house and eats their kid. Who's responsible?
You are.
Really?
Yes.
Why? Because I own the dog?
Because right. Your dog got loose.
Oh, so why is it if I own a deadly virus and it gets loose, I'm not held responsible?
Because you're not your Bill Gates.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my point, okay?
Exactly.
That's just my point, okay? That's the only point, really.
Absolutely.
You know, I've been kind of feeling ever since I heard about it that they was behind it, because all this stuff that's coming up is all about depopulation, and that's when they started messing with immunizations for children and killing kids. People with dementia without even telling them about it. They're just killing them off. And it's all about depopulation, so nothing right now would surprise me.
Well, that's true. And there's another article that is really just, I saw it just come out a couple hours ago, that all groups across the United States' DNA is being mutated, meaning yours and mine and everybody else's DNA is mutating except one group. And that,
well, let me guess, people that have money?
No, it is the Amish in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The one thing they have different than everybody in the world, and people go, well, vaccines, obviously. Well, that's one thing. But so a lot of people don't take vaccines, and their groups are still having their DNA mutated. The Amish right. don't eat GMO.
Right. And GMO, you probably ought to tell the people what that is, because a lot of people don't understand about Monsanto and all that. But
genetically modified organism.
Right.
And that's put on what? How is it that we get it in our food? Tell them.
Well, because they go to a lab and they say, well, gee, you know, we got all these weeds and they got to hire all these people and that's cutting into their profits. So why don't we just put poison inside the corn, and that way if a weed wants to grow or a bug bites into it, the bug dies before it can eat anything, and the weeds won't grow up around it because, well, it kills it if it gets near the corn. But that's somehow okay for us to eat.
Because it'll kill us. It's depopulation.
Exactly. And the
non-GMO food.
Go and ahead. The vaccines have all, but the GMO food has been suspected to be mutating our DNA for quite some time, and now it seems to be evident. And the vaccines have also been suspected with a lot of evidence that their main ingredient, even though they kill a certain percentage of people that take them and they disable another percentage of people that take the vaccines, the main thing is the largest percentage of people affected by vaccines are the people who are sterilized by them. So, just stuff to consider, and who's behind it all, the guy who says, hey, if we do vaccines really good, we can maybe reduce the population by 15%.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And naturally, I'm sure he doesn't take it, but Bill Gates is along with those other guys that want depopulation.
Soros, Bill Gates, all them.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're globalists. That's really, really pretty bad. And now with this China thing, now if the outbreak came out in China, but it didn't originate there, did it, Frank?
This lab in that they're focusing on, that they think, you know, this is where it started in China at this lab. Well, that lab is in 2 years, well, 3 years ago now, a group of experts that, you know, do this thing. I forget what their agency was called, but they're the ones that go around the world checking these labs that keep really deadly stuff to make sure, you know, they're good and that they'll hold this stuff. And in 2017, that very lab that this coronavirus is coming out of, they said, man, because they were using it at the time for SARS and Ebola.
Oh, yeah.
And they went there and they said, man, this place is an accident waiting to happen. You gotta fix this, and you can't have this stuff here. This lab is not good enough, right? And now it's got the coronavirus, and oops, it's out somewhere now. So, you know, I mean, this is, I honestly... Now, I'm not, I certainly wouldn't put it past the Chinese government to be working with the likes of Bill Gates.
Right.
But overall, you got to look just like my dog. Now, you might have come in my yard and let my dog loose, but unless I can actually show you doing that and prove it, that responsibility is mine. I own that dog. And I should have been watching that dog, and I wasn't. Bill Gates owns this virus. Okay?
Right. So he
should be responsible. That's what I'm saying.
Your fire's way out.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to pin it on him anyway. He has too much money. They're,
oh, no. It's bat soup, remember?
Well, actually, they did use bats to put it in.
They shot the virus into the
right,
bat.
But the point is, it was engineered by Bill Gates. You know, that just shows you, Frank, that how messed up everything is. You know, the Father said in Genesis, he says, everything after its own kind, meaning no hybrids. Everything was supposed to go away the way that he made it perfectly. And we don't, and we mess everything up, and it's just like the GMOs. Thank goodness President Trump is trying to lift. There is a ban, a lawsuit that stopped people from being able to sue Monsanto, which over the crop thing that we're talking about, causing cancer and everything, which they have in other parts of the world. But the point is nobody can collect any money. Well, President Trump is trying to rescind that so people can collect off of them.
Well,
did you hear that?
Before I go, I'd just like to say one thing about what you had just said, Dan, that we also have to look at what the Bible says about end times and in the times of Noah, because the only reason the Bible says that Noah and his family were spared was because their generations remained pure.
Yeah, right. Amen. And there's a lot to that, but, you know, the purity, the reason... Yeah, is being pure. And the reason they were saved was they had nothing messed up their DNA. They had the original human DNA in them. And that's quite a show. But you're absolutely right. Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on and telling us about that. And we're going to go ahead and tell some people about some other stuff. So you be blessed, Frank. Thanks for being on. Okay. Anyway, so moving right along with this. So, you know, it's really getting bad in China and they're covering it up. Here's the point.
Of course they're covering it.
Well, that's where we were at when we left off. It said China is hiding the number of deaths caused by the virus. Credible Chinese media outlets interviewed people working at local cremation centers, confirming that many dead bodies were sent directly from the hospitals to the cremation centers, not to a morgue or anything, where they could be recorded as death from it.
Due to the poor handling of the situation, the University of Hong Kong medical researchers warned on Monday that the true number of people infected could be closer to 44,000 in Wuhan alone. And that 5,000 alone. Gabriel Long, the dean of the university's medical school, told reporters that the virus could continue spreading in the summer and that world government must consider draconian measures to contain it, particularly in China.
That draconian measures. And draconian measures, that means like, you know, really forceful, draconian, like take away all your rights, you know, everything.
Oh,
draconian.
Really,
that's what draconian means. I'm just explaining it for the people.
Right.
And the other thing that you were saying when you got right there, it said right now the count in Wuhan is supposed to be 5,000. But they're saying in Wuhan alone, but it's closer to actually 44,000 instead of 5,000.
Instead of 5,000?
Yeah, that's what I was just clarifying to the people. According to one woman that claims to be a medical worker in Wuhan, victims are literally dying in front of their eyes. The patients are begging us desperately, but we couldn't do anything for them, she said. They're dying right in front of our eyes. Please take every measure to protect yourself at home. Don't ever trust the government. We are on our own now. These are four people over there crying about it. And Father, in Yeshua's name, Father, give some release to this. Let your will be done in Yeshua's name. Ultimately, we should not expect the Chinese government to tell us the truth about anything, because they're not honest in the past, because this makes their markets go down and everything, and their stock market is upset over it. And so they're shut up about it. They're not going to tell you the truth. Why would they? They're a communist country. if the virus starts spreading rapidly, as in this country as China, we're going to be facing a public health crisis unlike anything we've ever seen in modern American history.
Unfortunately, most Americans still don't realize what is happening. In fact, many Americans seem to think that this coronavirus has something to do with Corona beer. Imagine that. Just to be clear, there is no connection between the Mexican pale ale lager and the outbreak.
And that's a lager.
Okay, lager. I've always called it lager.
I know, but okay. That's you.
Okay. Which has infected over 6,000 people in China and killed at least 132. However, this hasn't stopped online searches for beer virus, corona beer virus, and beer coronavirus from surging across search engines since January 18th, according to Google Trends data. Well, you got to find it one way. You got part of the word, and it says corona, so I imagine they're finding what they're looking for.
No,
and what did we think when we first seen it? Corona beer.
I just looked. We said corona. You know, it sounds like it looked like corona beer, but I didn't think it was the thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, and laughable. I understand.
I technically thought that it was some kind of virus that was developing in the beer and causing people to get sick. So yeah, it's natural. That's what I thought.
Here's a real big point. For as much as if you pick up this little thing called what am I holding?
It is your cell phone, and that's what millions of germs are.
Okay, forget about the germs. That ain't what I'm talking about. In this little box here is just like that big computer I got. Those two computers that I have in this room sitting on. Well, actually, three. We won't go into how many computers, but I have three running right now. But here's the point: this computer will hook up to that or to any information you want in the world. And for as many people have this in the world and have it in the United States, have access to it, people are stupid. You know why people are stupid? Because where are they at? Are they looking up things? Are they checking on the news? Where are they at? What's that
Facebook,
page called?
They're Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, and games.
Yeah, and Instagram. Or some of the... I clicked on there because I wanted to see how many dating sites it was pop up because I was thinking about somebody I knew that I was trying to maybe find a date, you know, see if there was a special one for conservative Christian kids or something. And you wouldn't believe all the chat things that are up. But here's the big deal.
Oh, I believe it.
Well, it's one thing to be connecting online because that is their community now. Face it, that's the world community. The community isn't in your town. The community is worldwide.
Everybody's in their phone, yeah.
But what really amazed me is how many there are apps out there that you can just tap in the kind of sex that you want and put that out there. And you'll have people hit it and never see them again. You can just go, you know, and it's all over. And Americans are using it. Everybody in the world using it, but more in America and Europe than any place else. But, you know, casual sex has went, I mean, we're supposed to have sex in marriage. But, you know, the point is it's just so, it's crazy at what they're doing. And so my point is like you just said, I'm getting back to the point. People are out there just picking up that little box and having sex any place they want, whenever they want. The people are out there being on Facebook and all kinds of social media, but they're not being informed. But yet they have the whole world's knowledge at their fingertips. So they don't have to be suffering, but they are. I even talked to a gentleman last night. I said, well, you know, he said he was getting over the flu. I said, well, are you getting over it? He said, yeah. I said, well, it's not the coronavirus, is it? And he said, no. He said, it's not that. When he was like, what is that? Here's the point. People don't know about it. People need to know about it. You need to take precautions. If I was you, folks, you need to avoid crowds and things as much as possible. I mean, because this stuff, people are wearing masks and things. It's even going through the eyeballs. You know, when moisture hits the eyeballs, they get sick. This is a devastating thing. I still think that we should, people should listen to last week's program, because in last week's program, we told them about what?
The coronavirus.
You're talking about silver.
Colloidal silver, yeah.
Yeah.
Colloidal silver, that's what I've been posting on all, yeah, that's my remark, colloidal silver.
Right, that's your remark. Well, I'm glad you had a remark. That's pretty nice. Anything about the missing church, you know, are you needing anything, or what's our biggest need right now?
The biggest need right now is...
a replacement vehicle, because we
that
have...
That is our biggest need, is a replacement vehicle.
Right, absolutely. Now, we need food, clothing, all the things that we normally do, and I'm running low on medications, over-counter the medications that I'm giving out. I need more cough syrup and things like that. I need flu stuff. I need stuff to make silver for these people. But, folks, we drive a 120-mile round trip just to the Mission Church and back. My wife goes, do we go the same way when we drive over there?
No, I have other errands I have to do on the way, and you have errands you have to do on the way. Some of them are in Newton, and some of them are in El Dorado, and they're both separate ways.
Right, so it takes two vehicles. Right now, we're down to, to one vehicle. Now, we're not asking for $10,000 or something to go out and buy a car, but let me tell you, folks, we're poor also. We're used to buying vehicles and driving them until they fall in the ground. And
like the car that just the rack and pinion went out of, my son's car that I was driving because my truck motor blew up last year right before Suco, and we rebuilt the front end or the top end, and then it turned out that the block was cracked and it got worse. So the truck's down, blown motor, and the rack and pinion went out of the car, which I got for $500 and drove for 2 years. So that's what kind of vehicles we drive.
Right. So my point is that we need to raise at least $1,000 to get a vehicle as soon as possible, because we're really hurting from it. Like tomorrow, my wife's going to have to take me clear over to the Mission Church 60 miles, come back home 60 miles, and then pick up my son, pick up family for church and bring them back and come back another 60. Yeah, how many extra trips that is on my truck and gas?
That's already got 300 and some thousand miles.
Yeah, and my truck is 340,000 miles. You know, right, exactly. And so, but you know, I love my old truck. But the point is that we need another vehicle. $1,000 would get us another vehicle, something to drive until we drive that in the ground. But we intend on fixing my wife's truck. But it's going to take us later on in the summer, because it's going to take probably 25 or 30. I'm not sure.
Thankfully, my son's a mechanic, and he builds them from the ground up, and he did all the work on the top end and knows all the brand new parts that he just put on it. So he said if I could find a small block, he would take all my new stuff and put them on it and fix my truck. So that's where my truck is.
Right, but it's also, he has no garage, it's wintertime,
right.
It's outside, and so, you know, we're a couple of 3 months
away. And he only has Sunday, because he works 5 days a week.
Right, so we only got a couple, it's going to be a couple of months before we can get your dependable truck back up. And, you know, somebody donated you $10,000 to buy that truck a couple of years ago. Point is, folks, we need to raise $1,000 just immediately. But, anyway, so pray about it. We really do need your help, you know. Folks, the Wichita Mission Church is the last hope for so very many. And folks, all of us, the word says it, we're all responsible to care one for another. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Folks, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. And donations keep us on the air. What's it cost? I mean, you know, here's the point. People think, well, it's free. I turn it on. It's free. Well, it's not free. We have to pay for the internet. We have to pay for the airtime. We have to pay for the computers. We have to pay for the electricity, so on and so forth. This house that I'm sitting in has to have heat.
Nothing is free. Everything costs somebody somewhere.
Right. So how can they donate, Mother?
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Again, folks, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It keeps us on the air. And, folks, remember, come in an hour, come back. Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club, will be on with me, and we're talking about some real big prophecy stuff concerning Jerusalem. Remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose up for 3 days and three nights in the yard of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father.
Remember, I always be a blessing to others and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because praying for the peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Messiah's return.
You want to tell them goodbye?
Yeah, shalom. Be blessed. Okay. I won't be back next week. It'll be the week after.
Oh.
No, next week's the first week. Yeah, I'll be here next week.
Okay. Are you sure you're done? Yeah, okay. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.